Hello and welcome to the Lincoln Cast, the community podcast where we talk about the wonderful MMO Guild Wars 2. My name is Thurbleton, and it's the week of September 28th, 2013. This is episode 55. Join with me today in the proverbial digital table is Shinboy.
I have a real table. I don't know what you're talking about.
I have a real table too, but we can't all be at the table.
Why not?
Because it's not PAX weekend.
It's a good point.
Yeah. Squiddle, touché. As well. How is your table?
I have a black sparrow sitting at the edge of my table looking at me with his dark dastardly eyes and draining the soul.
Wait,
from
what was
me
that
as
word?
We speak. Dark dastardly?
Okay, never mind. I thought you fused that into one word.
They're worse. They don't control us, right? New guest of, or new co-host on the show. Who knows this one time or whatnot. Blitz, Berries. You have so many names in Mumble. What should we call you?
That's because Riven keeps kicking me off Mumble.
Yeah.
Yeah, the thing is, whenever he gets kicked, he switches to a different name.
I'm not Blitzberries anymore. I think I'm Ballroom Blitz.
It's kind of creative, but yeah, Blitz, welcome to the show.
Ballroom
thank you,
Blitz.
Thank you.
I don't know if I treat this as a radio or what.
I don't have a table. I have a desk.
Oh, snap.
I mean, I have a desk too, but still.
Are we defining what a table and a desk is and how they differentiate from each other at this point?
I mean, really, a desk is just like a specifically shaped table with drawers.
Yeah. So it's a table with a purpose as opposed to just sitting there. Okay.
Yeah, like a workbench, like something you'd find in the game Guild Wars 2.
Oh, man. That segue.
Ultimate segues. No, if you guys want to talk about what we've been playing, then I suggest you go to the Scotchcast, which is another podcast that we do on the same RSS feed, for the game Guild Wars 2. We're going to be talking about the various updates past that has just happened, as well as the ones on the future, and other topics of that nature. So, first off, Tequaddle Rising has happened. He has risen again. Well, again, because this is...
He still is risen.
I mean, he is a risen.
He was originally alive, Tequaddle, and then he died, and we killed him a bunch as an undead one, and now he's undied again, and...
Do we know that he was ever living?
I don't know.
It's never really explained.
I don't know.
But what hopefully what can be explained is how the new fight is and how crazy it is. So, I guess, Shinboy and Blitz, you did a little bit of this. Squiddle, I think, was you've been just having a crazy work week.
Yeah, I don't know, but what is a Tequaddle? I don't know what that is.
Tequaddle is the, you know, in Sparkfly, the big undead dragon champion boss thing.
Okay.
With the bone walls and all that.
Yeah.
Yeah, if you run too far south from Lion's Arch, you get to this, like, you know, the coast, and there's this crazy dragon that shows up.
Okay.
Yeah, they reworked him completely.
It's a nice area.
Now, how is he different? Really. Like, what's the new things now than from the previous fight?
Well, yeah, before... He was pretty much just like, yo, he spawns, let's attack him, then go AFK until we win. Yeah, now he requires, like, arguably too much coordination.
It's pretty funny.
But... Well, it's too much coordination, but you do still get rewarded if it's a fail state, though, correct?
Yes and
depending
no.
on his health. It all depends on his health, how much you get rewarded for it.
Yeah, because the way the fight works is it goes in stages based on, like, each quarter of his health. So it switches phases at 75, 50, and 25%. If you don't get him to 75, the event just fails and you don't get anything. But if the event succeeds at least to 25%, you get a reward. It gets better as you get further down.
But okay. The hardest part of the whole event is usually the first 25%. So a lot of times you won't get a reward for doing it because you can't get that far.
Which is both good and bad because, one, you don't get a reward, which is shitty. But it's only 15. There's a 15-minute timer on it. So at the worst, if you happen to get there like near the start of the event, you've only wasted 15 minutes of your time.
Okay.
Yeah.
So like, do you think? Do you expect for see hope that Arena will like tweak some of the things so that the later phases are the tougher ones and like the heartbreakers and the ones near the beginning are more or less easy?
So well, the reason. The hardest part is the beginning is because the way it works at 75, 50, and 25%, once you manage to DPS him down and keep the bone walls and everything away by using the turrets and everything like that, the mega laser, which was there previously just as sort of like a mechanic that didn't really mean much, is fired and stuns him. So he can't do anything. So that's when you can, you know, not worry about any sort of attacks and just true DPS race it. But at the beginning, he does all of his crazy attacks, so you need to you know, DPS while also keeping everyone alive. So, okay. It's a lot harder.
And then, like, it's people are still getting a lot of, because this is a massive event with massive people showing up, they're still getting a lot of greens and blues, just drops off the mobs and whatnot for...
The mobs don't drop anything.
Ah, but...
Yep.
I mean, because otherwise people were just farming. Yeah, because that happened at Call of Jormag. People were just farming the champions, so they changed that.
Okay. Well, that's a fair enough reason, I guess. They're trying to... Like, because with the... previous updates a while back of Scarlet's Revenge and everything, people were just raking in tons of money, but Arena, like, they were okay with it because Ascended Weapons, I guess, right?
Well, they did change, eventually they did change Scarlet's Invasion now, so that each of those waves, instead of having concurrently, like, the kill the minions and then kill the Flame Legion, they now happen one after the each other.
They happen sequentially instead of at the same time. So you don't get people arguing, oh, let's just farm the Aether Blades instead of killing the minions.
Okay, that's fair enough. But like during
it's a smart, simple change.
During the Living Story beat of it, now that it's in the
correct.
In the back.
When most people were doing it.
Okay, that's right on. What has been your experience with Tequaddle Rising? Like,
I've been doing it.
I don't know. I mean, like, the first time we killed it was pretty awesome, but because, you know, you put in a lot of work to figure out, you know, how to kill them, and it's like a raid in that sense where you put a lot of work into killing them. But
like, from what I've heard and what I've seen, like, the successful groups are usually ones that have guilds with multiple commanders or something saying, hey, get in various squads.
We had a chat going on in TeamSpeak of almost 100 people. So, I mean, you need a lot of coordination to get them killed. I mean, but the downside really, though, is like the overflow system just gets brought to light. Like,
yeah, the complaints. How crappy that comes. The complaints when it comes to the fight itself, now that people have sort of figured out how to do it, are sort of few and far between because the strategy sort of been shared around from server to server. And if you have enough people, like, he's getting killed relatively frequently, at least compared to initially. You just sort of need to get the right amount of people who know what they're doing. The complaints have been with people not being able to get into the main server that's killing him.
Yeah.
Because of so many people. So people have been stuck in overflow. So say, like, a good example of this was Blackgate was the first NA server to kill Squaddle, like 12 hours after he went live.
Actually, I heard this where, like, a big guild had successfully done it, but then since they had announced it, everyone started flocking to Blackgate to join in on the, like, the kill and get the loot. And so the guild that was initially successful transferred, like, didn't transfer, but they guessed it to another server.
Yep.
That had it active.
So in order to prevent their guild members from getting locked out of their main server, they all, like, stealthily sort of guessed it. So I want to say it was Tarnished Coast. But the sucky thing about that is that I'm sure there were a ton of Tarnished Coast people that didn't know this was happening and couldn't get into their own main server because of it. It's a weird and kind of wonky system.
So what we really need is, like, player housing where everybody can, like, join up and then queue at the same time to get into one area.
It's not even that. It's you have a lot of people that are just sort of AFKing in the main server.
Yeah. Okay.
So you have people waiting there for hours?
Well, people, like, waiting, hoping to get into one of these successfully planned things. It almost seems like if they took a page from the, like, Guild Wars 1 and had all the overflows numbered, or at least had the option to move between the overflows,
the way it worked is
some of this?
Yeah, because Guild Wars 1 had a similar system in towns where as the main districts got full, new districts would open, and you could just switch between them at will at via a drop-down, assuming they weren't full. So that would be a really neat system that, even if they don't change anything about the overflow system, just it'd be easy to say, hey, in guild chat, be like, hey, our guild is in overflow 4, and then everyone just goes there.
Yeah, so, like, right?
Yeah, it would take a bit of, like, work, but I remember whenever we would do Lincoln Forest meetups for big events that did have the overflows, there was that party option to join in overflow.
That is still there, but the thing is, so many overflows are full that you can't join. You right-click join, and it's like, you can't join that map because it's full.
Okay.
That feature is still definitely there. Especially if you have one person in the main server, I don't really feel like sitting there right-clicking and joining for an hour.
Do you think this is going to be a big issue in like a couple months, and then maybe Arena will like address it with doing some programming work on the overflow system, or is this current attention because it is the current living story beat?
I don't know, because this is a really complicated issue, both from logistics and how they want to handle it, as well as from a coding and net code perspective.
Because not knowing how the code works, not looking at the source code and making sense of it, because if I just saw the source code, my mind would explode probably. But with something as simple as like calling, that was something that was used to fix the issue of overloading the client side and the server side in terms of amount of stuff being thrown at your face. Overflow seems like another way of like another ArenaNet fix of an issue, and calling took months to fix. Like, we're not necessarily fixing overflows, but changing that code is probably hardwired into the system and probably maybe super hard to fit, like, to change.
Yeah, because I've heard a bunch of people just go, well, why don't they just increase the number of people you can have in a map? I'm like, you have no idea how complicated that is.
Well, like, how many can you have in a WoW map?
It's 100 per server per map, I think.
I think it was more like 166. It says like 500 people.
Okay.
Which rounded down to like 130 per side.
I feel like for PvE, it's definitely lower than that, for sure.
It's only lower than that, but it's lower than that because there are not a lot of PvE mob stuff happening in a world versus world server. That's very light number of like NPC units and whatnot in relation to just like the server budget.
With World v. World, say you have 200 people from server X. If those people want to go World v. World, they have four options when it comes to maps to choose from. In PvE, they have, what, like 20-something? So they don't need as many people because people are naturally going to be more spread out.
It's just with Living Story and like these giant events where people would come to flock to these things. On the one side, it's currently an issue that will probably foreseeably like not become an issue in the coming months or like the next 2 weeks from now when the next update hits or what have you. But the next time they want to do something big like the Karka event, it'd be good to have this sort of system in place.
Even doing Taquato with the numbers we had, a lot of people would drop, like they would just crash or whatever from just the sheer amount of processing that's required. Because I mean, he's doing all these scripted events, it's going to take up a lot of resources. So adding a whole lot more people with a whole lot more particle effects is definitely going to cause problems.
You have to strike a fine balance between having enough people and making sure that everyone can handle it, including the server.
Yeah.
I guess, Squiddle, you're the one who's, it seems to be the most computer technically savvy when it comes to managing servers and all that. What's your opinion on the overflow system? Like, do you think it needs a fix-up, or?
I don't know. I mean, a lot of people that are in here right now have played more than I have. To be honest, and you know, I mean, if they say that when you're having a giant group of people trying to join and you're having an issue because of overflow and you can't get in, then yeah, that's definitely an issue.
Is it hard to change the servers around some, or?
Well, I don't know the aspect. I mean, like in our company, you know, when we change servers, or if we have like for instance, if a server's too taxed, you know, we have the ability to basically, and it's a lot more difficult to explain than in the few minutes I have here. But
curses! I wanted an easy explanation.
I don't really have one. I mean, like, let's say a server gets too taxed, and we want to move it to a different host. Is the best way I could put it, because the other host is not really impacted. And when I say host, I mean the host basically says, this is the amount of RAM that I have available, and this is the amount of hard drive space and processor power that I have available. Not hard drive space, but processor and RAM, and we're just going to move you. It's pretty much instantaneous, and I don't know how they have their setup, but for instance, I mean, the company I work for, which is a bank, you know, if our main core server has an issue, it will automatically move for using high availability to a server or a host that has enough processing power and RAM to support that application.
See, I think that's sort of similar to what they're doing. I think the problem here is that that system is working fine. It's just that adding capacity to those existing servers is something that's not easy to do by any stretch or cheap.
Yeah.
Yes. If you don't allocate your resources like right away or early on and say, hey, we know we're going to have, you know, major issues with a bunch of people because we have new content. Let's say, okay, hey, we need to make sure we have enough RAM to support this, and we know that, you know, 10,000 people, this is the amount of RAM that we need. And all of a sudden, oh man, we don't have enough on this host. We can't move that server. That server cannot move to a new area. Then yeah, you're going to have issues.
Well, and I also know that, like, whenever I hear stories about like MMO launches, and needing to get servers quickly for a short amount of time is insanely expensive.
Yep.
And so the idea of just adding more servers so it's more spread out for overflows isn't really an option, because this isn't like, this currently doesn't seem like an issue that's going to be an issue in like a couple weeks. But it, I don't know, if they could find some way to adjust how the overflow works so that the players can have a bit more maneuverability in the overflows while not compounding the amount of server resources they need to dedicate, like the amount of servers they actually have, the amount of people per server, which would cause it more likely to crash. Like, do you think they'll do something as crazy as allowing for guilds to have like custom servers, like in SPVP?
I doubt it.
Yeah, that's something crazy. So it may be.
That is crazy.
That's just saying, it sounds weird, but that is a way to fix it, is putting that cost on the player side instead. It's like, oh, you want to do this? Here, pay for your own server.
I mean, if they sort of make a microtransaction out of it to help alleviate the cost, because we also don't know how their servers are handled from a business standpoint. We don't know whether they handle it or NCSoft handles it or whether it's a third party or what's going on. So, yeah.
So I guess this will be a good, decent enough transition as any of. There's been a lot of player feedback on this issue. Another issue that's been a weird thing to talk about is the world versus world changes that are getting announced with the upcoming update. At least I think it's coming out with the upcoming update, Twilight.
It just got pushed back to the 18th.
Okay.
Because they're restructuring everything about it.
Yes.
Well, not everything.
Well, they're restructuring how Bloodlust, is that what they're called?
We're also redoing the leagues. Okay, for those of you who don't know, sorry to steal your thunder, Thurb.
Well, no. Okay, but basically what's the layout is going to be, we're going to talk about the world versus world and Bloodlust and all those changes and play to reaction, and then we'll cover the rest of the new update. Sound good?
Sure.
Okay. Go ahead, Shinboy.
Okay. Well, they changed the Borderlands map, so it no longer has a big old lake in the middle with an island. It now has 5 control points if your server controls 3 out of the 5 in any given map. Any given Borderlands, you get Bloodlust, which is, say, plus 50, I think, to each stat. And also, each time you finish an opponent, not like kill, but actually stomp, you get 1 point for your team.
Well,
so it encourages.
What I heard is, based on each Borderland, they're commutative. So if you control all, like, 3 points out of the 5 on every single one of those Borderlands, you get plus 3 to that stomp instead of plus
Correct.
1. Okay.
Yep.
Do you get plus one, like 150 instead of plus 50?
That
you get all 3.
That yeah. I'm not 100% sure. Yeah, if you maybe get all 3.
Yeah, you do. They add together.
Oh, okay. I wasn't sure. So yeah, in addition to that, they added that. From what my experience, it seems like most servers have sort of kept a lock on the one in their own Borderlands. At least from my anecdotal evidence.
Oh yeah, because that right now, bloody hell.
Yep.
I forgot I actually tried this out and was really confused by it, but try to make the sense of it. So this seems to me like just like rewarding success while not being a good way for the team that is like the server that is in last place to work its way back into the fight.
Not necessarily true, because you don't need a ton of people to take these, because capturing it with one person is just as fast as capturing it with 50.
Yeah, but usually the server that's on top is, well, either the server that is on top either has the most amount of people, so they're running a Zergfest, or they have a lot of guilds that are very, like, you know, small groups tactics or what have you. Or at least have a lot of, like, WoW enthused ones or PvP enthused ones. So do you think, like...
Basically, if you're looking for, like, sort of a comeback mechanic, you are never, ever, ever, ever going to have a comeback mechanic that will be able to combat just way more people without it being completely imbalanced. It's just how comeback mechanics work.
Yeah, well, one thing I could think of off the top of my head that is we won't go into like whether or not it's a good idea, but is getting rid of the 5-person cap on AoE damage.
I think they should up it for World of the World. 5's a bit low.
Yeah. Maybe 10. But
10. 10 seems fine.
Yeah. So there's been a lot of discussion, we'll say, about these updates. I mean, what changes are happening to the Bloodlust? Have they announced, or are they just saying they're reworking it?
That I don't know. Okay. I haven't been following that as closely. I've been more interested in the League stuff.
Yeah, that is. We'll talk about that too, because that seems crazy as well, and the way it's working. But I want to talk about, because I think it's an interesting topic and something that needs to be addressed, is the amount of backlash that happened with this and a lot of the other updates with the World versus World, which people seem to be really passionate about that game type, because it does seem to be the only end game mechanic in, like, the most visible of end game mechanics that
in terms of, like, a level or a number going up. Yes.
Yeah. Stuff you can do at level 80 when everything else has been done, which there's still a lot to do in this game, guys. But,
like, when you want to get some sort of vertical progression that's not, like, literally nothing but horizontal, as in, like, dungeons where you get tokens for gear and skins and all that, World v. World, just getting that World v. World rank up is probably your best bet.
Yeah, I'll say of the end, like, of the level 80 stuff with the highest ceiling, because there is a ceiling to that that they keep raising, but that's definitely a ceiling of getting all the points.
Mm-hmm.
People seem to be really... yelling back and forth on the table, and it'd be nice if they talked instead of just throwing, like, arguments at Devin Carver, the lead designer, who people need to realize that he's not the only one coming up with these ideas and responsible for them. He is just the one who's talking.
Get out of here with your rational thought.
Yeah, well, I've heard this talk before lately with GameSpot and having to deal with GTA chatter and just people on the internet
being vitriol, is that a word?
Yeah, being vitriol, just like needing to have some common courtesy for your fellow human being would be nice.
Wait, common courtesy? Really?
I don't know. It's a crazy thing. But
yeah, I hate all you people.
Yeah.
I know.
I need to bookmark some of these posts that I read every now and then. But what do you guys think? Has it gotten too out of hand, or like, is there a way to try and rope in?
Okay. I'm going to, all you World v. World players, actually, Guild Wars 2 community, generalizing here. I need you to gather around, children.
Okay. Okay, Daddy, I'm here. I'm here.
Our crybabies.
Oh.
That's it. You are the whiniest sons of bitches I've ever seen in my life.
Damn.
What the hell?
But Mommy loves me. Mommy loves me. Why don't you love me, Daddy?
Guild versus Guild, people.
No, not even that. They're just a small subset.
Yeah.
Like, you do not, like, okay. There's, my theory on this is that this game cuts out a lot of the traditional MMO bullshit, like the kill stealing, the node stealing. You can deposit a lot of your crafting materials. I mean, some of them you have so many that it's still taking up a ton of bank space. You can still just deposit it right from your inventory. If you you can craft right from the bank, which is a common feature still. But there's so many things that the game does right that when it comes to, like, the tiniest little thing, people just bitch and bitch and bitch, and it's fucking annoying.
But it is the internet, so we have to expect a little bit of that, right?
No, I mean, no, you don't. That's the point.
I mean, like, it'd be nice if – remember back in launch when people had, like, the crazy names – and you got a 72-hour ban sort of thing. And, like, they were very hard on that.
I remember that, yeah.
It'd be nice if they took, like, not necessarily that big of a step, but definitely, like, almost, like, and when people complained about it, they went on the forums and went on, like the Reddits are saying, this is why you were punished. This is the etiquette that is not allowed. If they were a bit more like, you know, transparent, I guess, with that, probably not the best word, but way of showing of like, you need to relax. You need to calm down when it comes. Okay, like, we understand you have a problem with this. You need to display your anger differently.
This is my theory on this, is that MMOs or games that you know that are launching saying this thing's going to have a long shelf life, like that's what it's being built for, yeah, they always take a little while to sort of find themselves and sort of, you know, get their footing. It's just how these things work. When you have so many people playing, there are things that will be pointed out that, oh, this should be fixed, that should be fixed, so on and so forth. This is really one of the first, if not the first, of these games to be really popular to launch since, like, Reddit has become a popular thing. So I think the fact that the one person who has a really big problem with something and wants to tell people about his problem with said thing has more of a voice now than, say, with the launch of something like WoW.
I mean, they still had forums, though.
Yeah, but they were not nearly as big of a thing as like a subreddit.
I have a resolution to all this. We should just play Second Life. Everybody should just go and play Second Life, you know, and that's
I hear RuneScape is really cool nowadays.
They just updated Second Life, man. I don't know about you guys. The graphics now. Woo.
Yeah, I mean, more porno in your house. Let's do it.
But I mean, like, now people can comment on Facebook posts. They can tweet at developers. It's things that you couldn't really do before, at least compared with a lot of these other games of a similar nature that have been popular.
Well, and then also we've seen something that I don't think any MMO has done. Like, you know, Blizzard had the Blizzard podcast, but nothing like a weekly or sometimes twice, like multiple times a week streams where we get to see the developers showing off stuff. Maybe it's not the most interesting stuff whenever we want, but they're always showing off little bits about the game. Like, I remember there was one of just one of the artists, like, modeling something.
Well, and much to the same aspect of, you know, in the previous Scotchcast that I mentioned, you know, the ability to have direct feedback and direct interaction as a consumer to the product that you've paid for and that you're, you know, wanting more stuff from. It's great to be able to have that and to voice your opinion. And hopefully that, you know, the company will listen to it and go, hey, a lot of people want this. Let's do it. So.
Yeah, but there's a difference between giving honest, like that is a textbook definition of a double-edged sword. Cause you can have people going like easier than ever saying, hey, I think this thing's really good, but I think this needs work in this way. You know, here, hope you appreciate the feedback.
Well,
you
sure,
get those people.
Yeah, it is, but at least they're able to voice their opinion. To may say, we want this. This is what we want. And if enough of the we wants vote on it, or at least, you know, mention their stance on it, they can go, hey, people really want this, and let's go forward with it. Then,
but I agree. But the thing is, the we wants has just turned into a whole bunch of people who need a whamburger with some salad French fries.
Oh, that's pretty good.
Like, do you think if the community got a bit more, like, community got together and said, like, hey, it'd be like something like the EVE Online approach of having elected officials. Like, maybe let's say a sub tier of the Lion's Arch, whatever they're called. Board of Pirates.
That we let's go to the Board of Pirates.
Yeah, the Board of Pirates. Yeah. But it's basically like community people who they're circled in and out, like that you can't hold more than one term of office or something. And they work with the community team. Do you think that would be
because
a thing? Or do you think
how would you choose that?
I'd have to look into how
like
EVE Online does
player
it.
Player chosen, I don't really know. Because like, my biggest problem with something like that is that, like forums, like the official forums, Reddit, Twitter, anything like that, just becomes such a circle jerk of people all latching onto this tiny thing that they don't like and just ranting and raving about it for, you know, endless periods of time. That I have a feeling that not the correct people would be put in those positions.
Well, I'd knock the thing I proposed off by saying that the EVE Online community is so much more dedicated. They have the subscription. They've been running a long time. They're
exactly.
a smaller knit group. And with the game that we have, it's a like you paid for it and you don't pay for it again after like on a, ever again if you don't want to.
Well, let's also state that the EVE Online community, and I played EVE before, you know, I would not be in a position for at least the 15 hours that I played in it to make any kind of statement onto how anything should progress in that environment. I mean, there are people that have been there for years that have more hours built into it. So, you know, the person will be chosen based on their knowledge and understanding of the area, but the amount of hours they've played into it. And I think the problem is you, with Guild Wars, you have a lot of people that can put a lot of hours into it, but the difficulty that EVE has and to be survive and to have those hours in there that are actually logical to have – logical is a bad word. I guess it would be
the amount of comprehension needed to master that thing and to make educated decisions is much more than on a game like Guild Wars 2, which people have made it to 80 and don't necessarily know what to do with Siege.
Well, sure. And in the first week, you know, like with EVE, okay, first week, let's say you could make it to 80, but there is no 80. There is, you know, mastering different types of ships, different types of weapon schematics and learning that it's so much more. I'm going to throw all my time into this.
Yeah, the EVE Online thing was probably not the best suggestion.
Well,
but
I think
you just have to make parameters for it, though.
Yeah.
You just need to make parameters. So you'd have to, maybe you'd say, like, you need a certain amount of achievement points and you need to show that you've played a certain amount of hours in different things. So, like, if you want, like, some people representing PvP, show that they're higher up on the leaderboards, show that you've played PvP for a long amount of time.
Yeah. Well, the people who would have the ranks. Like, just like any political, like, election sort of thing, the people who would be running for these sorts of things would be community leaders of different groups. And obviously the biggest leaders of the biggest groups would be more pertinent to take these positions. But I don't know.
I would not vote myself in office or even try to run for a ticket per se against, you know, Shinboy, who has been playing a lot more than I have because I have not been there. So there's a good example of it, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And that's kind of like where I feel they need to take that, where people need to take precedence over that have been there and doing things on an active basis, as opposed to people who just, you know, hey, I want to bitch about this. And then, you know, okay, your bitch gets noted. Thank you.
I think it's a problem when you give thousands of people an anonymous voice.
Yeah. But I mean, some of this has to be alleviated by like everyone thinks it like a public test server. Cause
yes. Thank you.
I cannot believe that this game doesn't have one. Like a lot of these bugs, I feel like if you had a public test server,
content is not inherently broken. Like for the most part, it's just little tiny things here and there. But the thing is that people latch on to those little tiny things here and there and just don't shut up about it.
So maybe a lot of the rage that we see right now on a live server wouldn't be considered rage on a test server because it's like, oh, this isn't official yet. Yeah. This is an issue I have with it, but they would be approaching it more of like, hey, we should probably fix this before it goes live, or people are going to get really pissed off.
I understand why they're hesitant about it because they like their story, their living story stuff, so they're kind of afraid, you know, oh, if we have it's going to show the living story, but at some point you have to sacrifice some of that for just good game content.
I agree.
Solid, non-buggy stuff.
We're not even if it's not bugs, just for like balance sake.
Yeah. Especially with PvP, I'm surprised there's no test realm where they can just do changes on the fly like all the time. Like, example, like I don't know if Dota does it. I know League of Legends does it, where they have a public beta environment where they put changes out on the fly all the time.
Oh yeah, Dota does have a test client.
Like,
as far as I know,
I'm surprised
PvP goes in there. They have unlimited access to like everything you could ever want, and then they just try out like all these matches just get tried all at once. Like all the people in PvP could go in there, get access to everything, finishers, whatever. And then
I mean, if you don't want, just don't listen to the people that are broadcasting the spoilers.
Like I'm surprised there's not more diversity with SPVP, only because people have left because it's just like you're just doing the same thing over and over and over again. And if they had stuff like, hey, there's this one guy off the right that here's the latest thing that people are like the dev people are working on. It's not going to work all the time. It's going to seem kind of dumb, but try it out. And then there's another guy who's like a zombie or something. And hey, like here's the local Left 4 Dead mutation sort of thing. Like here's just some crazy thing. And for both those, you don't get any actual glory or any points, but it's just a weird thing you could do.
Well, yeah, like, I mean, you could help test like a whole bunch of things on there and just be, you know, you get like the draw of it for PvP is that you get to try it first. So when it comes out, if it does come out, then, you know, you get to have some experience with it before it comes out, which is always a draw for PvP. But at the same time, it's good for Arena because it's free testing. Like, I just, for PvP, yep. It's just a surprise it doesn't have something like this.
And for a game that's updated as frequently as Guild Wars 2 is, it seems like a strange decision not to have one.
Yeah. But which, I don't know, maybe eventually that'll change. Like, it took League a little while to get something like that put in place.
Yeah, it took Dota a while, too.
So, yeah. I mean,
I remember, like, another NCSoft joint, Aeon didn't have one for a little while, if memory serves.
Well, I remember a long time ago when we were doing an earlier podcast, a long-gone Leaking Cast, where we talked about dungeons and how, like, it'd be a really cool thing if they had it instead of throwing new dungeons. Like, I think we talked about it with Fractals, like, making all new dungeons and, like, how crazy it is to do this if they just added new paths.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yep.
How do you think this is for a segue, you guys? It's pretty good.
It's pretty good. I like where this is going.
So, new dungeon pass, like the Twilight Assault dungeon path that's being added to Twilight Arbor.
Oh, really? Oh, tell me more.
So, instead of three paths for Twilight Arbor, they're adding a fourth path with some new content, but some of the stuff that we've seen in some previous rooms.
I don't want to play Twilight Arbor ever again.
That's okay. Why? You don't have to deal with the worm, as far as we know.
Yeah, well.
As far as you know, there's no worm problem.
But it's now down instead of forward or up.
Yeah,
I don't want to help you get your coil again. All right,
so I'm tired. I'm done with it.
So that's the next thing I'm wondering is if they're going to also put in changes to the other paths. Put this in.
So I assume this is Scarlet's Wing, of like Scarlet, the person who, or at least somebody.
Yes.
Scarlet is heavily involved.
Okay. There's stuff going on in the Twilight Arbor that's not just plant stuff. It seems like there's some inquest things going on as well from what I've seen from the images.
I believe Flame Legion and everything that's been in the Living Story so far.
Because like one of the cutscenes that they showed is Scarlet's like hologram or whatever standing up top, and there's like a big bottom like arena, and she's like, it was a lot of hard work getting these two or something to that effect. And it's, I want to say Jetpack Dude from the Molten Facility, one of the two bosses. And then, as well as the first mate from the Aetherblade, like, boss fight, the dude who shot all the rockets. Like, and I think they are, like, a combo boss fight.
Oh, nice.
Which is an interesting way to reintroduce it before the Fractal or whatever they're making for it. But
other than that, we really don't know much, except there's puzzles.
I'm also curious then, like, because that's all Living Story stuff. If it's going to stay, I heard that it was going to stay around, but
the
like.
The path is permanent.
Yeah, I imagine like it's.
To change the path, right?
No, because they're an interesting thing with the trailers and materials. They actually have not shown Scarlet in the dungeon path. They've only shown her on like hologram.
Yeah, but
and the dungeons seem to have a timelessness to them, whereas like there's the story missions, and then like the exploration stuff takes place after it. But it's like you're still getting the band back together to take on, not Zinyak.
Meaning that, oh god,
Zaitan.
My point is that they could do it by like say, oh, what if at the end of this story arc we kill Scarlet? Like, what if she ends up being the big bad at the end of all of this? Which it seems, as of now, that that's likely the case.
Well, it could be that, or it could be like the story beat from Twilight Arbor, in which you attack Phelan and she disappears.
Well, yeah, like, my point is that this path doesn't necessarily need to be timeless. My point being that all of those things could be, like, all of her statements could be pre-recorded and not her saying them live, so that she could be dead and they could still be going on.
Yeah.
So we don't know. They've been very coy about this.
I like that angle. Like she's been dead the whole time.
Yep. She's actually Bruce Willis.
Spoiler. That
really,
or
really
that,
you're calling spoilers on that?
No, no, even better. A Bruce Willis reference again of she helps you, and then she dies in the fight right before a young Scarlet sees old Scarlet die right before her eyes. 12
but
monkeys.
I'm just curious.
That's actually,
though, like, you think
that's
they're just going to leave the Aether Blade stuff in there, though? Because that was all living story.
What were you referencing?
There's like 12 monkeys or 13 monkeys. I forget which, but.
Oh, I know what you're talking.
Bruce Willis died.
Because when I think of time travel and Bruce Willis, I think of Looper, and I haven't seen that movie yet.
No, he's talking about, I think it's 12 Monkeys. It's a really weird movie with Bruce Willis in it about time travel.
Bruce Willis has done a lot of sci-fi time travel stuff. But anyway, moving back to Guild Wars 2, which Bruce Willis is not related to at all.
You don't know that.
Maybe. He might be doing voice work.
I was going to say, what if he voice works?
He might be like just making cow sounds or something for voice work. I don't know. Anything else happening with this update? I think they played with a couple World vs. World rewards, but they're keeping most of the stuff with updates later on.
They're adding new weapon skins, which are not new.
Okay.
They're the Twilight Arbor weapon skins, but they are blue.
Oh, woo.
I think they're a random drop. I don't think it's like a token system.
Yeah, okay. We don't know if it's on all the paths or just the new path. They made it sound like it was just a new path.
Maybe just having like special rewards from certain bosses.
Maybe. Like, I don't know. And then they're adding like reward chests to Worldly World. Like depending on how your world finishes for that matchup, you get 1, 2, or 3 chests, which I assume 3 for first, 2 for second, 1 for third.
Okay. That's really cool.
And they're account-based, which is neat.
Looking to Shinboy across the table. What other topics are we have for the show?
Further down the line, which was supposed to be included in this update, but it's got moved back, is the Worldly World Season 1 and how that's being reworked.
Oh, right, the League, yeah.
League, yeah. Like that TV show about fantasy football.
So something I think is crazy, but they did with it's because of the system that they have for guesting and like free server, well, not free server transfers, but being able to server transfer and all that is depending what server you're on at the beginning of the league is how your performance, like how your reward will be based on at the end of the league, correct?
Correct. It's whatever server you're on when you first choose a character after the season begins. Meaning that you can log in and switch servers as long as you don't pick a character.
Okay.
So basically,
what happens if you delete all your characters and make a new character?
Then you can just pick whatever server, but that's a dumb idea. Don't do that.
So basically what you're telling me is that this new update, I'm going to be able to choose my fantasy Wolf team.
Yeah.
Pick me.
No, but I don't know.
It's a PPR league.
It's an interesting idea, but like it always sounds like it's going to skew everyone towards the top tier servers because they want the better rewards.
They sort of tried to alleviate that with this. What they announced yesterday is that initially it was going to be 2 leagues. It was going to be for the 24 servers in NA. I don't know what it is in Europe because Europeans are strange and they don't matter to me. It was going to be 2 leagues of 12 servers, top 12 and bottom 12. And they're reworking it now, so now there's 3 leagues. You would think, oh, 8, 8, and 8. That makes sense. Nope. I actually think this is better because they're doing top 6 and then the next 9 and then the bottom 9.
Okay. Hmm. I'm down with that. Yeah.
So that way, like, because before, like, the gap between, say, like 1 and 6 is pretty big, but it's not nearly as big as the gap between, like, 1 and, like, 10 or 1 and 12. Because what? Our server, Yak's Bend, we were hovering anywhere from like 13 to 11 range. So the last few weeks before they announced this change, we were just intentionally, or at least I assume intentionally, bombing and doing real bad. So instead of getting dominated in top league, we were going to be one of the top servers in bottom league.
Trying to be the big fish in the small pond.
Yeah. So now we're just going to be in the middle of our league anyway, so it don't really matter.
I don't know if I'm a big fan of it. I think... It'd almost be cooler or at least nicer that since these leagues are going to be, assuming that these leagues are going to be around for like,
I think it's
going to
be
right?
Season based. So like the first season, this,
I think it's 3 weeks.
4 months. Yeah. Like, okay. So these 3 months are going to be this.
7 weeks
this,
is like less than 2 months.
Like, I just feel like it would be nice if the leagues were made up of, five people each, because then the bottom three would be fighting within the league, and then the top two would be fighting the next one up, and then like you would be progressing through the leagues. And each league, by the time you end, depending on which league you're in, you get different rewards.
Well, I mean, this is just like season one. They'll probably reshuffle it for the next season. Or they're probably just going to see how this goes and then maybe change the number of leagues or the number of teams in each league.
I'd have to worry about math. But like, just like there'd be like more leagues. That way, like the top league, you get the best rewards. But you'd have to – but each league gets their own different rewards. So you'd you'd want to progress through the leagues. Instead of having like huge leagues where you're just shuffling for position within the league, it'd be almost better to be like, oh, hey, each little individual league.
Well, the thing is, we don't know how they're going to do that, whether they're going to do like a relegation or like, let's say, like the way like soccer does it in the UK is like the Premier League and then the league below. I don't recall what it's called. Maybe like Football League One or something. I don't remember. Every year, the bottom three teams in the Premier League get moved down, and then the top three teams in that second league get moved up to the Premier League for the next season. So, I mean, they haven't said anything. They could do that. I think that would be cool if, like, say, bottom two in, like, the first league move down and the top two in the middle league, silver league, moved up and so forth. So you could move through the leagues because with now, the matchups are not going to be randomized as much. You're just going to be playing people within your league, so you'll get a better idea. So they could do that, and I'd be actually wouldn't be surprised if they did.
Yeah, I was just thinking more like StarCraft, though. Smaller leagues, but like, you know, you move up, like bronze, silver, whatever, gold, like through the ranks. It'd be that way. You'd see actual progression versus like, hey, we're just kind of stuck in this league for this season, and we can't move up to the next tier.
Well, I mean, that's why the seasons are not very long. 7 weeks is not a super long time for something like this.
Yeah, so I that's what I was wondering, like how long the seasons were. So,
yeah, 7 weeks. You play every server in your league at least once.
Gotcha. I'd like to see, like, obviously when we talked about this, like, not this exact topic, but the idea of adding some sort of end goal or improving the ranking system of World v. World, we talked about having more appeal on the guild versus guild and having, like, notifications when the point you've claimed has been taken by another guild and creating rivalries back and forth across server. We thought like that would be a neat thing.
Mm-hmm.
This I think would be improved with like maybe adding more flair as the league season comes to an end. So like there's not necessarily like more crazy stuff, but like, I don't know, more attention taken to when like big points are taken, like maybe more point reward near the end of the season.
Mm-hmm.
Or like just maybe the champions get tougher fights or something near the end. So like there's big stake back and forth, but it just seems like if I'm the number one, like if I'm a really good server in the bottom tier, it would be to my behest to always be like second or third best. Because we wouldn't be like, it would be tougher to climb all the way up the ladder, and I'd be perpetually going up and down from the worst of the second tier to the best of the third tier, than trying to work my way up to like the best.
But the thing is, if last place in the middle server has better rewards than top in the lower server, that gives you the incentive to, you know, jump up there, even if it is for that one season. That's the thing with giving the soccer example again. Those teams that are in like the second league, they want to move up to the Premier League, even though they have no realistic shot of really winning that league, because they get better rewards. They get more cut of the advertising money and everything. So the franchise will actually make more money and, you know, use that money to potentially build towards a better team, even though they're losing more.
Actually, I think we might see that for a while, but I think a lot of the guilds are just going to pay to get to one of the higher server.
Yeah, and that happens in sports as well. Like, you know, a team sort of becomes good out of nowhere because they have a really good player, and then that player is bought off in free agency to one of the traditionally rich and good teams.
And then they become the Utah Jazz.
But see, here's another thing is, like, if everyone floods the top tier servers, to get the rewards, then their queue times are going to be rather large.
Yep.
And the thing that comes along with the leagues is it sounds like you have to do achievements to prove that you did something during the season. So yeah. If you constantly have to deal with queues, it might be way more difficult for you to actually like do the achievements.
So. Yeah, but they're going to make it so that even the most casual of player is going to get rewarded for this stuff, I would imagine. Yeah. So yeah, if you can get in a little bit to get some achievements.
I think it all really hinges on how the rewards differ from league to league and from placement within those leagues that really drives this. I'm not too interested in the actual start of the league, in all honesty. I'm more interested to see where it goes.
Like I'm really curious about who they're sort of advertising this feature to and whether or not the hardcore like guild, like how they're going to react to this both immediately and long term. Like, is this a healthy thing for, like, is this type of competition healthy for the community?
I think so.
I think this is like, this might be one of those things where they're going to get near the mark, but if not hitting bullseye is going to be an issue.
I think that saying that before it's out is a bit pessimistic.
As a person who is really, really, really into World vs. World and now jaded by it, I feel okay with making that comment then.
I don't know. I feel like
I want to be hopeful.
You're being
for it.
Jaded. You're not basing this on any experience with it.
Yeah. No. Yes, I agree.
Because I'm not saying it's going to be great. I'm saying I'm more curious about where it goes than where it is.
Yeah. Well, I am cautiously interested in this.
I think at the very least, it is a valiant effort to make World v. World less stale.
Yeah. But at the same time, I'm kind of mad that, like, they've had...
You're mad that they're not putting in what you want them to put in.
Yeah. They're like, this... It's like I wanted them to spice it up, and the way of spicing it up is like, okay, you added some SPVP control points, and you're making a ranking system, which there was already sort of a ranking system.
There was, but there wasn't really a proper one that had rewards.
Yeah, there's one with rewards now, yes.
Yeah. So I think it's something that it needed. Like, your server-based rewards were not really a thing.
But what do you reward when there is not supposed to be any end goal or end game, like... It's supposed to be just where we're supposed to have fun at level 80, right? There's not supposed to be anything to strive for, or at least there's supposed to be a ceiling to it, both with dungeons. I got my guy.
Well, I mean, the thing is, there's no vertical progression involved with this in terms of stats for characters.
All right. Well, I'm just curious what the reward is supposed to be then.
Like, it's just like money or
WoW a bunch. Money to spend on Siege or something. I'm just confused. I don't know.
One of the things I was curious about, and I apologize if this has already been spoken, but I just got back, so sorry. One of the things I saw on Reddit is somebody made a comment, which kind of took me for surprise. They made the comment that people who were, I don't know if ArenaNet like opened it up for another like free weekend or whatnot, but one of the comments that they made was that people who are just joining for a free weekend should not be able to get Siege, should not be able to do Siege weapons or anything like that. And I was curious on what y'all's take was on that. That people, if they were to come in during a free weekend and say, hey, let's try it out, and they were like being elitist and saying these people should not be able to
That's not the point. The point is that people are griefing. They're making Smurf accounts and going on the server that they're facing and wasting supply on Siege.
Mm. Okay.
That has nothing to do with actual new people.
That has to do with people
making Smurf accounts.
Yeah, that's okay. Less like new people not knowing what they're doing with Siege and more how supply can easily be trolled with Smurf accounts and how supply is used. And yeah, because like it's really easy to grief if you don't want your server to win is to just put a bunch of Siege down and...
Or not even that. It's griefing as in like I know Yaxman is playing Stormbluff Isle right now. So I could, in theory, make a Smurf trial account with, you know, a random email address that I just make, then go onto Stormbluff Isle and just start, you know, either destroying Siege or building Siege where it's not destroying. I mean, like taking a golem into a place where it shouldn't be was what I meant by that.
Yeah.
Or, you know, just building arrow carts randomly out in the middle of nowhere, stuff like that. I could do that to them.
Not out in the middle of nowhere. Making a ton of rams in the middle of...
In the middle of spawn.
No, not spawn. In the middle of a castle and wasting all 2,000 supply they had. So that's true. Way when the Stormbluff Isle or when Yaxban comes to hit the gate, there's no supply to repair it.
Yep.
There's no supply to make defense siege.
That's what that post was all about, was people griefing.
So, yeah.
In conclusion
to the previous topic, the current topic, I guess, it's just I'm curious how the reward system's going to play out for...
Yep, this whole thing, yeah. I think it's a good idea on paper, but it hinges on how they handle rewards.
Very cool.
So, yeah.
Still, I don't know. Is this sort of
still a pivot point for a lot of people, whether or not they enjoy this game?
What's weird is this seems like kind of a crazy thing. Yeah?
In what way?
Well, in the way of always, like, even on this podcast, we talked about how it'd be nice if they added more crazy to the game, just like weird ideas that they just threw at us.
Yep.
And this is us, like, reacting, like, positively and negatively to something crazy being, like, I just find it's interesting for myself saying that I am pessimistically, like, you know, I'm very against this, and yet I just earlier ago was saying how much I want them to give me crazy stuff.
See, and this comes back to my main point with my problem with this community. Not saying, because you're handling it very well.
Yeah.
See, say people want stuff, they get stuff. It turns out they didn't want that stuff. You're just like, I don't know. Maybe I'll wait for the next thing. Maybe I'll try this out. I'll see where this goes. Maybe not a vast majority. A lot of people on the forums and on Reddit are just like, blah, blah, blah. This isn't what I wanted. Let's kill Devin Harvard.
Hopping on the ambulance.
Like, that. There was a whole Reddit thread just tearing apart Devin Carver, and I feel bad for that poor man. You people should be ashamed of yourselves.
Well, this is the internet. I mean, we can't expect
say this is the internet.
That's, I mean, come on,
excuse.
Really?
That's a bad excuse. People should act like adults.
Well, wait, on the internet, you expect...
It was the internet... 10 years ago.
I think people shrugging it off and saying, oh, it's just the internet, is just as bad as people being super ragey on the internet.
It was the internet 10 years ago when people couldn't harass somebody to the point of quitting video game industry just by yelling at him on Twitter and insulting him constantly.
I think that...
Referring to Phil Fish.
I think... Also, Ken Levine said, I'm not sure I want to do this again because of you people.
I think that Blizzard...
What Blizzard did with the real names on the forums was one of the most brilliant moves, and I really wish that they had stuck with it.
Like, the idea of anonymity has at least gone away on one side of the conversation with the person on stage.
Yeah.
Like, well, and I'm fine with that. I just think that there's going to be still those grouping of people that are going to be, you know, trolls.
Well, there always will be. But my point is that just shrugging those people off and trying not to do anything about it is not the right way to approach it.
Well, no, and I agree that is not the right way to deal with it. But there are going to be people that are like that, and I don't know what the best practice is to deal with people that
no
are
one
like
does. That's the problem.
Fair enough,
man. The internet's a fucked up place, and it really bums me out.
I think that's. That's a good way to leave it to plugs.
You know what, guys? Let's try and make the internet a better place. One way to do so...
Heal the world. Make it a better place.
You know what? I've been complaining a lot, and one of my favorite phrases is, be the change you want to see in the world.
Could that be why you are doing a live stream for charity and showing the good side of the gaming community?
I think that might be one of the reasons. So, on November 2nd, starting at 8 a.m. Eastern and running until 9 a.m. Eastern, 25 hours later, on Sunday, I will be live streaming me playing an assortment of video games for the fine event known as Extra Life.
Yeah, like this, now that we're getting into fall and winter, like we're seeing a ton of live streams and just a ton of community people working together to raise money for charity with Extra Life, with Child's Play, and a couple other charities, which I can't think of at this moment. But like that, yeah, that'll be my plug. Just look for stuff like that. Look for Shimboys. I'll be helping him out as much as I can.
Yeah, I'm already up to, I'm having my page now, $139.
I will definitely donate to that. I will be in the Renaissance Festival here in right outside of Houston, Texas, during that time frame. So I will.
Oh, you won't be joining us?
I will not. I wish I could. But I do have plans to go there for Pirate Weekend. I will just say, yeah. And and if possible, if I could live stream that for charity, I absolutely would.
Yeah. Another thing is I'm part of the GiantBomb.com team. So if you don't feel like donating to me personally, there are a bunch of other people that are trying to do the same thing as me, raise money and stream games and help the kids. So you can always check that out. Or any of the other fine people.
Help the chillins.
Yep. Help the chillins. The money goes towards the Children's Miracle Network of hospitals. So if you're wondering where your money's going, that's where. I guess we'll have a link to my page in the show notes.
Yeah, I will do my best to do that, yeah.
I mean, I can just send you the link.
Yeah.
Send it to you after the show.
Okay. And then Blitz, any plugs from you? I'm going to say if only positive plugs. No negatives. Ooh. Yeah. Blitz can be. Blitz is super quiet right now.
None, zero, zip, zilch.
Oh no! No, oh, so you go. It's a neutron of a plug.
Yes. No charge.
No charge.
There you go.
There you go, folks. Free of charge. This podcast is being brought to you from the interwebs. My name has been Thurbleton. You can, I guess, send me stuff on Twitter, either at the LincolnCast on Twitter or at Thurbleton. Shinboy, what is yours?
I am. Oh, well, I mean. I guess we're in the show notes. I am at Matt, _Leslie, LESLIE, 35 on Twitter. You can follow me, follow the Lincoln Cast.
You help man the Lincoln Cast at the Lincoln Cast on Twitter.
I do. I have it set up on my phone, so it's really easy to switch accounts. So I usually check it at least a couple times a day. So if you are following the Lincoln Cast and don't feel like following me, but still want to ask me specifically a question, you can do so there. So yeah.
If you have any, I guess before we go to Squiddle and Blitz, if you want to post yours, Twitters or any way of contacting, if you have any positive things or anything that you thought like, oh great, that was like a really cool community thing happening with Guild Wars 2 or Giant Bomb. We're loosely associated with them.
We are Giant Bomb EU, some may say.
We are not Giant Bomb EU. Damn. I'm trying to fix that so we can... Okay, listen. If you want to see any more interviews with the ArenaNet team about weird stuff like them live streaming, maybe talking to Devin Carver about... Like, that dude did testing for Infamous.
Really?
By the way, he was not what I expected him to look like. I looked up his picture. He was not what I expected.
So if you want to do anything more like that, I guess step one is let's become more of a solidified community and talking back and forth on Twitter, because if the issues with Amazon and Kickstarter has taught me anything, it's if enough people tweet something, it gets done. Yeah. So step one, tweet us about any crazy stuff, any positive crazy stuff with the community.
Or you can tweet the negative too, as long as it's not super vitriol.
Yeah, if it's
criticism is okay. Let's not confuse our message here.
No problem. Yeah.
All I know is that step four is profit. So
step four is profit.
Yep. Step three has to be question marks.
No. Step three. Okay.
So
step three and a half is question marks.
Yeah.
Step three is we will eventually just like. Tweet ArenaNet a ton of times like, hey, you guys should get so-and-so on the Lincoln Cast.
What I didn't tell you is that all that Extra Life money is secretly going to this podcast.
Oh, damn. Whoa. Oh man.
We're going to put a bunch of sick kids on the show.
We're going to run World of Warcraft ads on this. That's it.
Wizard will probably pay us a bunch of money, so okay.
All right,
Ladies and gentlemen, we are sellouts at that
Blitz,
point.
Do you have any Twitter plugs or anything you want people to talk to you about?
You want those to sell you money in gold? I'll give you my Twitter handle, and you can just post it with the show notes or something.
All right, thank you very much. Squiddle, anything? How are you doing?
We should end this. Squiddle on Twitter. if you want to follow me, I am done with my major work at work, so I'll be posting more on there. Man, other than that, live long and prosper.
My final thing for the week is my musical selections of the week.
Oh.
I have been listening to Jorn, Mr. Landy, this week, both his Out to Every Nation album and his 2006 classic album, The Duke. So if you are into more of a hard rock fusion with heavy metal instead of like death metal, which I've been listening to lately, a lot of his stuff is super fun. Out to Every Nation is strangely political, but other than that, it's still got some fun tracks on it.
I do have something to add if we're doing musical plugs.
Yeah, Squiddle, what's been your musical plug?
I would like to mention Arjen Lucanus.
Lucassen?
I may be saying that wrong. I don't know. He's from the Netherlands. Released a new album just recently. Definitely go out and buy it. He does side projects. Arion is his newest release. So definitely I would recommend picking that up or at least listening to it once it comes out. So definitely show note worthy right there.
Yeah, I'm sure people just look up like Arjen. I'm assuming A-R-G-E-N.
A-R-J-E-N. Arjen.
You might get Ian Robin, the famous Dutch soccer player, instead, if you just type just the first name.
Okay, weird.
If you want to find him directly, a star one for all the listeners out there.
Star one is high quality stuff.
Yep, star one. He does that. This is another side project, and you will find his homepage from that. There.
So. And my musical plug will be Richard Cheese, a weird guy who does like Frank Sinatra style show tunes, but the lyrics are all like get down with the sickness and bust a move and baby got back.
It's a weird thing.
Yeah, it's a weird back and forth. So it's classy but kind of dirty. My name is Ben Thurbleton. Thanks for listening to the Lincoln Cast, and we'll maybe see you next week, if not the week after.
Peace.
Later.
Bruce Willis movies.